Not so long ago in Oregon, the only companies that mattered in many towns were the timber mills that employed, housed, and fed entire populations. The mills essentially owned just about every item in town until the industry declined in the 1960s and 70s. Now Gilchrist, the last company town in Oregon, is up for sale. The town of 120 homes, nestled on the sunny east side of central Oregon's Cascade Mountains, is a sparsely populated region where somebody can drive for hours without encountering so much as a traffic light. The founder's two grandsons hope to turn Gilchrist into a resort and retirement community. Nancy Solomon of member station KLCC in Eugene reports.
Ask anyone who lives in Gilchrist about the way their town used to be, and they'll tell you about the low rents, $100 for a two-bedroom house. They'll talk about the fact that they could leave for weeks on end without locking their doors. Until recently, Gilchrist was a town where everything, the houses, the store, two churches, even the bowling alley, was owned by one family, the Gilchrists.
Mr. Gilchrist, he knew when everybody in town got sick. He knew when you got well. He knew when you was going to have a baby. I mean, the man knew everything about his people.
Dale Brewer arrived at the Gilchrist Sawmill on June 3, 1952, with his dinner bucket and gloves in hand. He and his wife Ruby never left. But that kind of permanence wasn't always the case in the timber industry. At its beginnings, loggers were quite a transient bunch. University of Oregon professor Mike Hibbard says that began to change with the drive to settle the West.
Starting in the 1920s primarily, you began to get these places that, instead of just cutting down the timber and milling it and moving on, would try to create a permanent community. But these were very, very isolated places, and so in order to create a permanent community, they had to create all the things that you needed for a community, the store and the housing and the schools and so on and so on. And one version of these permanent communities was company towns.
Hibbard says towns became less isolated as transportation systems improved. In the 1960s, when the post-war boom for lumber declined, corporations sold off the towns or simply razed them. Hibbard says Gilchrist survived because it was owned by one family who lived there. Out-of-state stockholders forced the sale of the mill and timber acreage to timber giant Crown Pacific in 1991. But Gil Ernst and his brother were able to hold on to the town that their grandfather, Frank Gilchrist, built in 1938. Uncle Frank, or Little Frank, ran the company from 1956 to 1988. Ernst grew up in Gilchrist. He believes the town would never have been sold if Uncle Frank hadn't died in 1991.
Gilchrist was a family. Your kids were going to school with your employees' kids, and they got to be friends. They knew who the boss was, but the boss was just like you. I mean, he talked to you every day, and that's probably why it has stayed on, and it's why it probably will continue.
The old mill whistle still echoes through the town, announcing each shift change at the mill. It's an old ship horn brought by the Gilchrists from Mississippi, where they had run a mill before moving to Oregon. Just across the road is downtown Gilchrist, the first strip mall built in the state. At the center of activity is the Gilchrist Family Restaurant and Pine Room Lounge. It's run by Rick Ward, who proudly shows a visitor from a nearby town the lounge's two-lane bowling alley.
This is where all the action's at in Gilchrist, right here. Five nights a week. And if anybody's anybody in Gilchrist, they're on the bowling league, aren't they?
The old-timers say the Gilchrist Timber Company was a rare breed. It was fair to its workers and kept prices in town low. Of course, anyone who hated living under the watchful eye of Frank Gilchrist didn't stay. Still, Dale Brewer says there was little animosity between the Gilchrists and their workers.
Most of us didn't mind that this whole place was run and ruled by one man, because he did rule it. He drove through this town every day.
You're speaking of Grandpa Frank.
The old Frank. Grandpa Frank. If there's a car sitting out in front of your house too long, he'd tell you to move it. He wasn't rough with nothing. He'd just ask you to clean up your place.
He painted the houses every 5 years, whether it needed or not.
Ed and Irene Hill followed the Gilchrists from Mississippi in 1939.
And about the second time he did it, well, he says, let's just make it all brown. And he won't have to buy but one paint. They got a Gilchrist brown. You can go up at Ben and buy a Gilchrist brown.
Gilchrist Brown has now given way to pastel-colored vinyl siding. Of the 120 homes for sale, about half were bought by existing residents.
I'll give you a good example of what we've got here, and I'll get my key. It's had all new windows and siding and roofing.
Real estate broker Dan Varco is now marketing the rest of the properties as vacation or retirement homes. He says Gilchrist attracts people who want to step back in time.
It's Oregon at its best, really, because it's what Oregon used to be, you know, with the timber and the forest around and all that. And a lot of the timber towns used to be somewhat like this, and it brings a real good feeling back to you if you've ever lived in one of those, if you ever grew up in one of those areas. I did, and it reminds me, I can identify it with it very easily.
But those days are long gone. When Crown Pacific bought the mill in 1991, it fired all the workers, dismantled the union, and hired people back without seniority. Rents were jacked up 500% to the going rate. Gilchrist paternalism gave way to the harsh realities of the market. Today, some residents who can't afford to buy their homes are forced to move. Others, like Ed and Irene Hill, who came to Gilchrist when it was still under construction, became homeowners for the first time.
So we've been right here in this house for 49 years and then bought it. Just last year, we was 80 years old.
They couldn't understand it either, could they, Daddy? No. The real estate people, us age, buying a house.
And we'll probably stay right here unless some Californian comes along with a whole bucket full of money.
It's not inconceivable that buckets full of money could lie ahead. Gilchrist is just south of some of Oregon's toniest resorts. Workers' housing, though, isn't likely to attract an upmarket crowd. But with skiing, hiking, fishing, and hunting nearby, Gilchrist has escaped the bulldozers that raised many a company town before it. For NPR News, I'm Nancy Solomon in Gilchrist, Oregon.